A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brothers and sisters, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to ransom those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. As proof that you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then also an heir through God. The word of the Lord. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit finds joy in God, my Savior.
The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name.
For he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in his conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones. He has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior."
Verbum Domini.
Today's feast of the Most Holy Name of Mary has an interesting background in history. The feast was originally instituted in the Universal Church by Pope Innocent XI in 1683, following a clash between the forces of Christian Europe and the expanding Muslim Ottoman Empire. The Polish king, Jan Sobieski, had led a campaign against the advancing Ottoman army. And before the Battle of Vienna, Sobieski stopped at the shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa and begged Our Lady for her intercession and for her blessing upon the Christian troops. And the battle commenced on September 12, 1683, and the larger Ottoman army was defeated. And so Pope Innocent XI established the Feast of the Most Holy Name of Mary in the Universal Church as a way of honoring and giving thanks to the Mother of God for her intercession. And then following the Second Vatican Council, when the liturgical calendar was reorganized, this feast was removed. And then finally, in 2002, the same year during which he introduced the luminous mysteries of the Rosary, Pope St. John Paul II reinstated this feast in the calendar once again. And it's interesting to note that this feast was restored nearly a year after the September 11th attacks in the United States. In an Angelus address he delivered several days after the attacks, Pope John Paul II invoked Our Blessed Lady for the United States and says, "May the Blessed Virgin bring comfort and hope to those who suffer on account of the tragic attack of the terrorists that last week seriously harmed the beloved American people. To all the children of this great nation, I direct my heartbroken and heartfelt consideration. May Mary welcome the dead, console the survivors, support those families who are particularly tried, help all to resist the temptation to hatred and violence, and to dedicate themselves to the service of justice and peace." Now, the Church typically invokes the name of Our Lady throughout the day, most especially in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. In fact, every Eucharistic prayer in the Roman Missal includes the Holy Name of Mary explicitly. Wherever we find our Lord Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist, we also find our Blessed Mother. And the Catechism teaches in paragraph 2682, because of Mary's singular cooperation with the action of the Holy Spirit, the Church loves to pray in communion with the Virgin Mary, to magnify with her the great things the Lord has done for her, and to entrust supplications and praises to her. A name, in general, is more than simply a word that we use to identify a person. When we hear or see a person's name, we often associate certain qualities to that name, such as their identity, their reputation, personal and public perception, background, and their character, including both good qualities and their flaws. And in the Old Testament, names would often signify a characteristic about the person or would indicate something about their mission or their vocation in life. For instance, God changes Abram's name to Abraham, signifying the covenantal blessing that God bestowed upon him and that he would be the father of many nations. And throughout the centuries, the people of Israel would recall Abraham with fondness as their father and remember that the promise that God had bestowed on him. They saw themselves as beneficiaries of the covenantal promises to Abraham. And so for the ancient Israelites, the name of Abraham was held in such esteem and reverence. And even today, when we hear a person's name, we are likely to have either a positive or a negative response, depending on what we think or feel about the person. Some names remind us of people who are dear to us, while other names are people that we might prefer to forget. And names are so important to us that the Church reminds us to to have the utmost respect, not only for God's holy name, but also for a person's good name. In fact, it is a sin to say or do anything that would intentionally or maliciously besmirch a person's good name. This includes sins such as lying, detraction, gossip, slander, libel, talebearing, rash judgment, spreading misinformation, and so on. And aside from the name of our Lord, the name that fills the church with the greatest love and devotion is the holy name of Mary. Our Blessed Lady has accompanied the church with her presence, her prayers, and her example throughout the centuries. Most importantly, it is through the consent, the fiat of Mary, that the world has received its most glorious Savior, Jesus Christ. And for this reason, she is given the greatest honor and praise among all the saints in heaven. And while we do not worship Mary as if she is divine, we do give her the greatest honor as the mother of her divine Son, Jesus Christ. In honoring her, we share a particularly intimate connection with Jesus, who also bestowed the highest honor upon his mother by making her queen of heaven and earth. As the Catechism says in paragraph 2677, because she gives us Jesus, her son, Mary is mother of God and our mother. We can entrust all our cares and petitions to her. She prays for us as she prayed for herself. Let it be to me according to your word. And as a poor, humble, and lowly servant of the Lord, Mary opens the door for all her poor, meek, and humble children to have access to the Lord and to his saving grace. And so I wish to close with some beautiful words from St. Bernard of Clairvaux, who loved to address Mary under the title Star of the Sea, Stella Maris. And it's my hope that these words will be a comfort for all who rely upon Our Lady's help and the support of her prayers, especially in times of trial and distress. He says, "Oh, whoever you are that perceive yourself during this mortal existence to be rather drifting in treacherous waters at the mercy of the winds and the waves than walking on firm ground, turn not away your eyes from the splendor of this guiding star, unless you wish to be submerged by the storm. When the storms of temptation burst upon you, when you see yourself driven upon the rocks of tribulation, look at the star, call upon Mary. When buffeted by the billows of pride or ambition or hatred or jealousy, look at the star, call upon Mary. Should anger or avarice or fleshly desire violently assail the frail vessel of your soul, look at the star, call upon Mary. If troubled on account of the heinousness of your sins, distressed at the filthy state of your conscience, and terrified at the thought of the awful judgment to come, you are beginning to sink into the bottomless gulf of sadness and to be swallowed in the abyss of despair, then think of Mary. In dangers, in doubts, in difficulties, think of Mary, call upon Mary. Let not her name leave your lips. Never suffer it to leave your heart. And that you may more surely obtain the assistance of her prayer, see that you walk in her footsteps. With her for guide, you shall never go astray. While invoking her, you shall never lose heart. So long as she is in your mind, you shall not be deceived. While she holds your hand, you cannot fail. Under her protection, you have nothing to fear. If she walks before you, you shall not grow weary. If she shows you favor, you shall reach the goal."